Y'all, it's Jey Uso from WWE.
And I'm Jimmy Uso.
Chumba Casino and WWE are hyped for the biggest event of the summer, SummerSlam.
I know, I can't wait.
There's nothing better to do while we're waiting
than playing Chumba Casino.
Sign up today and you could win a VIP experience
with Chumba Casino and WWE for SummerSlam.
So what are you waiting for?
Play Chumba Casino and enter for your chance to win. Let's Chumba.
Yeah. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See T's and C's. 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
1 o'clock hour here on this Monday edition of Darren, Donick, and Chase. Talking with TD. That's what we're doing. That's what he does every week on his podcast. Ron Davenport joins us, NFL Nation reporter for ESPN, ESPN.com. And we just played you a good portion of John Robinson and Mike Vrabel talking to the media today in preparation for the draft that begins on Thursday evening. Teron, how you doing?
Hey, always good, man. Appreciate you guys having me on.
You hanging in there?
Oh, yeah, man. Like I say all the time, man, I woke up this morning, so I already won.
There you go. Starting off on a positive note. I like it. So there was a little bit of a glitch with Mike Vrabel, and I know had a little fun with that. But in all seriousness, and I know they're trying to go through some mocks here this week and some trial runs. It's no different than a band going out there and rehearsing, right, before a concert. That's fine. And everything may go off without any glitches this week leading up to Thursday. But do you think, because of the unusual circumstances, that how much of a storyline do you think it'll be in the draft, or do you think it will be a storyline whatsoever? Do you think it will happen to a general manager or a team?
No, I don't think it's going to be a storyline because I think they're all well-equipped. John Robinson said he has, what, three Microsoft services and an iPad. I'm sure he has multiple phone options. And end of the day, we have to remember, they're picking rosters, right? Like, they're not trying to send a rocket to outer space. So it's something that they'll be able to do. I think they'll work through it just fine.
Yeah, but we've all had our TV freeze up, and wouldn't that be – you know, that would not be good. With the 16th pick in the draft, the Saints select, and, you know, they're sitting there, their general manager is in freeze mode. That would be weird. But, by the way, how do you think it's going to look? I mean, that's the intriguing part to me, is how this is going to play out on television.
Yeah, I really wonder how it is going to play out. I think it's going to be a really good production because you have two top-notch organizations, you know, in ESPN and NFL Network coming together to make this thing happen. So I think it's going to go fine. I have full confidence that it's going to be entertaining. And you know what? Even if it does have a glitch, it's one of those things where it happens. Like when you cough on the air, you cough, you move through it, and it's forgotten. So I think really the main objective is just going to be to keep pressing forward regardless of what happens.
Have you been told how are they going to use their NFL Nation reporters during the course of the draft starting on Thursday?
Well, to be honest with you, I'm sitting in my upstairs attic studio recording my pick right before I jumped on the call with you guys. So we're going to have an NFL Nation mock draft. That'll be up tomorrow, I believe it is. And then during the draft, we'll be on the Shortstop app. You know, anybody that subscribes to the Titans page, which you should do if you haven't, on ESPN.com. Click NFL, click Teams, click Titans, and subscribe. But we're going to go on Shortstop, and we'll have a quick video after the pick if we disagree with it or who we think they should have picked. And then before then, we'll be kind of active on that app as well, in addition to obviously social media. And then you could check on ESPN.com. We're going to have continuous what the pick means, you know, those type of things, like reaction post to the we'll have a running log, so to speak, of the draft picks.
What did you make of what's a couple of things that stood out to you with today's 40-45 minute discussion with the media?
Well, for me specifically, I asked about the corners, so I was just paying attention to the answers about that. I thought it was interesting in that John Robinson said that maybe it is Adoree Jackson that bumps inside and plays the nickel. And this is something that I said last week on Talking with TD, so I thought that was an interesting comment. And then just the fact of what they're looking for in cornerbacks, right? They mentioned how they want versatility. They want guys that can match up against speed tight ends. I thought it was a really good point that Vrabel made when he said that it's different now, whereas guys aren't just threatening the field horizontally. They're running vertical routes out of the slot. So it kind of gives you a good idea of what it is the Titans are looking for in corners. I think that was definitely a highlight. Definitely had the nugget about Jadeveon Clowney, right? And the door isn't closed on that, but they haven't inched forward to any more closure there as far as sealing the deal. So those were a couple of things that stood out to me.
Daron Davenport is with us. Daron, I was taken by that as well. And it's a logical answer that, you know, you're drafting not knowing how the Clowney thing is going to play out at some mm-hmm. point. But it seemed to me, putting that together and talking about, you know, Jeffrey Simmons, and in the context of the Jarrell Casey trade, that John Robinson seems pretty content with what he's got on the defensive line right now, even if they don't end up with Clowney.
Yeah, it seems that way, but, I mean, make no mistake about it, there are guys in this draft that could come in and help. And then in addition to that, you have to look at Vic Beasley. They seem to feel like they could push the buttons and get the Vic Beasley that was the talented top 10 pick from 2015. So I agree with you. I think they are confident with where they are.
He also, I guess unsolicited, or just kind of given the wide open field, what position do you think is the deepest? He said wide receiver. Do you agree? And were you surprised at all that he said that?
No, I wasn't surprised at all. I mean, I agree. This wide receiver class is deep. From day one through day three, you could get guys that could come in and play. I mean, Kalijah Lipscomb is probably going to be a fifth or sixth round pick. And that guy is a baller, you know. So I agree with him. This is a deep class, and that's the way you don't always rate it by how many Julio Jones-type players you have. You rate it on how many contributors, key contributors, that you could get deeper in the draft, and this is one where it's an abundance of guys.
You mentioned Kalijah, and I've been curious about this because it was a challenging year for any skilled player on the Vanderbilt team. They had a lot of problems.
Mm-hmm.
They had issues at quarterback, and it certainly affected the production of Kalijah Lipscomb, Pinckney, and everybody. So that being said, I know there was a game where Kalijah was mysteriously not playing, benched, whatever you want to say. They didn't say anything publicly about it, but give me your overall evaluation of him. You seem to be pretty positive about him. He had some great moments there, and I know he's been training a lot with Tua over at the D1 complex.
Yeah, no, I agree. When you look at Kalijah Lipscomb, the thing I like is position versatility, right? He could help you out in the return game, but he's someone you can move around. He could do a lot of work out of the slot. He could line up outside. I think he runs really good routes. He catches most passes with his hands, which is a key thing. And I like his movement skills. And then you look at the size of 6'1", 200 pounds. He's a guy that has the power to run through tackles. Go ahead and watch. Actually, on Talking with TD, we had Christian Fulton on. And there's a play where he kind of ran through a Christian Fulton tackle on a slant and then worked his way into the end zone for a touchdown. So for me, you know, when I look at him, I think you get a complete player. He's not one of those guys that's going to wow you in shorts and a T-shirt. But that's fine because you're paying them to play football. And Kalijah Lipscomb is a football player, in my opinion.
We're talking to Taron Davenport of ESPN, covers the Titans for them, talking with TD and in the football season, chasing TD as well. A guy that you have mentioned quite a bit when we've talked to you is offensive tackle Lucas Niang from TCU. And I have seen, you know, mock drafts now, and I saw Eric Bacharach of the Tennessean did a mock draft this morning and has the Titans taking him in the third round. I've seen some nuggets from you on him as well. Why is he somebody that you think would be a fit?
Yeah, well, I think if you look at him, he's probably a guy that would be in that 61, around that range, you know, their second round pick. To me, he is definitely a fit, and he's one of those guys where you really have to watch film to understand what he brings to the table. Because if you look at this past season, 2019, it was decent. But if you go back to 2018, pre-injury, then you got a guy who is a first-round talent. And I'll give you a quick example. Chase Young said he was one of the best guys he faced. Chase Young, we know the deal with him. He's going to be a top three pick. So for him to show that much respect for a player like Niang, I definitely speaks volumes. But then when you look at him being a taller guy, a longer guy, who gets his hands on pass rushers and keeps them from being able to get to the quarterback, you know, he's at that size, is able to drop back and really make it harder for them. He gives them more of an obstacle to go around to get to the quarterback. So there's definitely a plus there. I think you're getting a guy who is someone that is willing to work hard and always looking for improvement. He set a goal coming into this past season on becoming a better run blocker, and he did get better, and he's athletic. You talk about a guy getting to the second level and making those blocks, he brings a lot there. So, I mean, I think the appeal for him is you're getting a first-round talent in the second round.
What did you make about it? And John Robinson brought this up today. I think John Glennon asked the question of the offensive line and tackle specifically, and that, you know, there may not be as many available, and so that could alter what the plans are because the Titans look at that as a position of need.
Yeah, I mean, I think he's right in saying that, you know, there are a group at the early part of it that are really good, but there's, I think that's a group where you have some depth as well, to be honest with you. And I think the fact that he mentioned, you know, they made some moves to solidify their right tackle position, I think that definitely, you know, tells you where they are. I don't think they're looking at a definite starter in this draft. If a guy's there, they'll pick him. But I don't think that that's something that, you know, they're coming in like, hey, we need a starting right tackle. If a guy that can come in and compete and you know, take that job from Dennis Kelly next year, is there, I think they'll take them. And I think that's why Lucas Niang is such a guy that's appealing to them.
We've talked a lot about running backs and obviously the need for another running back, but a guy that I know that I don't think I've asked you about yet, LaMichael Perine from Florida. What are your thoughts on him as you've looked at him?
Yeah, he's a tough runner, man. I saw him at the Senior Bowl and watched him in pass pro, watched him just an inside run where there is just running the ball. You know, it's basically five on six. And, yeah, he's appealing. But the thing is with him, he could catch the football too. I mean, he wasn't asked to do it a lot, but he could definitely catch the rock out of the backfield. And although he didn't run a super fast 40, he has some explosiveness to him as well, because, I mean, he has some longer runs on his resume. So he's a good pick. I think he will be there right in that range with, you know, like a Patrick Taylor, a Keyshawn Vaughn, those type of guys. So we're talking, you know, a fourth, fifth round. I think those guys will all be there, and he's one of the ones to consider.
All right, Teron, thanks for the update. Good talk, and it's going to be a fun week. Hey, we've got something live to talk about this week.
Yeah, for sure. And, hey, make sure you guys tune in to Talking with TD. We have a stacked show this week. It just went up today. You got Antoine Winfield Jr. You got Patrick Taylor out of Memphis. You got Terrell Lewis, who, if you listen to the show, he'll tell you that he met with John Robinson and Mike Vrabel. So tune in to hear what he had to say about that. And, oh, yeah, we got LSU corner Christian Fulton. We wanted to end with a bang. All of those guys met with the Titans, so you get to hear that in that show.
Wow, that's out right now?
It's up right now.
I like it.
Not now, right now.
Right now. Let me ask you this real quick, loaded question. What's going to be a surprise, in your opinion? Just one thing that's going to get our attention on Thursday. How would you answer that?
From a Titans perspective?
Well, just – It could be whatever, however you want to answer. It's very open-ended. What's the one thing from Thursday? Just one thing that we're going to go, wow. Because we always go, wow, at the draft, right? How would you answer that for Thursday?
There's going to be six cornerbacks selected in the first round.
Wow. Are the Titans going to be one of them?
If they don't trade down, I firmly believe so. But regardless, there's going to be six.
Key phrase there, Teron, if they don't trade down.
Well, it seems like that was certainly the mood of the general manager today on that call. Appreciate it. We'll definitely check out the podcast, and we'll talk soon.
For sure. Appreciate it.
Talking with TD, you just heard it. Loaded guest list there on that podcast. Go check it out. NFL Nation reporter for ESPN and ESPN.com, Teron Davenport. We'll come back and discuss some of the things you heard on the other side. ESPN 102.5, The Game. It did seem like John Robinson was casting a line out there for the rest of the league of, hey, we're open to trading out. We're open to trading down and, you know, maybe trading up that or giving up that 29th pick overall. I don't know how it's going to play out. I suspect it doesn't
happen. What does your gut say?
I think they pick.
Okay. I think they trade out. That's my gut. I think I told you that we were texting over the weekend. I get that feeling that they want to acquire more picks, and John's really good about that. And now if there's somebody that they just absolutely love that they can't pass up on, that obviously changes, and there's no way to know that until they get closer to their pick. But I think they trade back into the second round.
Yeah, I think it's percentages. I think, you know, you go in and you don't have a plan going in. You don't predetermine whether you're going to do it or not. You see how the draft falls your way as you get down to that pick 30. I think it's an easier thing to predict when you're maybe in the top 10 or 12 picks. But I still think the percentages are that pretty strong that they trade down. Would we agree that it's much more likely they trade down than trade up, right? They're not likely to trade up.
I put a poll question up at 102.5 The Game. I did that this morning during or even before the rundown, and I had three choices with the first round. Did the Titans pick at 29? I did put trade up because you never know, and then trade back. 49% say they'll make the pick at 29. 38% say they will trade back. 13% say they trade up.
So they agree with me.
They do.
It will stand pat at 29 and pick.
They do. But, I mean, I think you can make the argument that it's relatively close, but I had to put trade up, I mean, just because you never know. We've seen weirder things happen, but I don't see it happening. I think they trade out, but the second best to me would be they pick.
I think the other thing that we're not discussing is you have to factor in the different set of circumstances, and does that affect trading or not?
That's true.
Well, they talked about it a lot on that conference call. They really got into a lot of detail. John Robinson said, most of the trades that you do are done via cell phone anyway, so that doesn't change at all. There's a lot of texting back and forth. Hey, are you picking here? Are you interested in trading? If you're interested in trading, we'd be interested in your pick. Here's what we have to offer, and then you go from there. So he doesn't foresee a big change in how the trades get done along those lines because of the circumstances.
I don't know. I think it's easier said than done because they're so used to having a gathering and to know that there's not a gathering and you have to sit there and talk to everybody in different places. I don't know because, you know, the general manager wants to talk to the room when there's a trade on the table.
Right.
And, you know, what are we looking at with that pick? If we move up or if we move down, what are we looking to do? What, you know, who are we targeting? This and that. And so, I don't know. I just think it is going to affect them because it's different. I mean, it's just not how they're used to conducting business. And, yeah, they'll have to work through it. It's not like a trade will not get made. But I don't know. I just kind of feel like,
well, what if one doesn't get made? What if there is, you know, we find out that there was a trade that was going to happen, but it didn't because of something technological? I mean, that's very much a possibility that something like that could happen.
Well, in the first round, you have so much time between the picks. And I remember last year during the first round, because I was sitting out there in the rain for a lot of it, there were delays in the first round, right? Even with all the time that you have. So you can put a hold on the draft if you're having trouble. So I don't think that if a team really wants to make a trade and they're in the midst of doing it and there are some technical issues, I think there's going to be some tolerance by the league to say, hey, give us a second. We've got issues here. We think we've got a trade here. I feel like there's going to be a human common sense factor. So I don't know that I would read too much into that.
I don't know. I mean, like, I'm fascinated by how this is going to look. You know, that are there going to be problems? Is it going to be uneventful? I mean, you know, they clearly they've done their homework. They've had time to prepare for this. John Robinson said that IT was at his house today doing some finishing touches on things. So it's not like they just put this together in a week, but they've never done it before. And even with all the testing, the mock drafts, like we were joking about earlier, of how many times have we tested stuff for a remote and something still goes wrong? I mean, it just – that happens, especially with technology. So I feel like you kind of have to be mentally prepared for just about anything.
Six cornerbacks is what Teron said in the first round.
And nobody Vince said seven wide receivers in his.
Yeah. Look, the wide receiver class is it's been pretty clear. Everybody we've had on has really glowed about how loaded this wide receiver class is, top to bottom. How you can get – if you're in the market for a wide receiver, you can get a good wide receiver out of this draft. So it'll be interesting to see how that plays out. There's also some news today in the Titans division with Leonard Fournette. And that looks like the Jags are preparing themselves to maybe move on
from
Leonard Fournette. And there's been a lot of trade talks about Leonard Fournette. And now you've got players coming out and telling the Jags front office to get their stuff together. I mean, it's just typical Jacksonville stuff. They just always come off as a dysfunctional family.
But it's just one of those things where they've been shopping him around. Nobody is willing to give up anything for him. And so they're just waiting for him to get released like Todd Gurley did.
Yep, his fifth-year option deadline is going to be in a couple of – well, May 4th. So that's a couple of weeks. So 2 weeks. His base salary is just over $4 million. And maybe that's what it is. People don't think that they're going to pick
up. Is that guaranteed because he's on a rookie deal?
The 4.167?
Yeah.
That's his base salary, so yeah.
Yeah. I mean, so if they release him, they're just...
So if they picked up the fifth-year option, then that would you would be on the hook, not just for this year, but for next year. But if they didn't, you would get him for basically a year and be able to figure out whether you want to sign him for the next contract, right? So that does put him in a different class than Gurley, who already had the big price tag with him. So you could still take a flyer on him and feel like, okay, he's still young and he's not really expensive at this point.
Yeah, and I don't know. I mean, I would think that a team would want to acquire him and see what happens and not necessarily, you know, have the deal in place and acquire him and then re-sign him.
I've already seen some reports
but
that, out
that's
there,
still,
people wh- putting out
what
there.
What would you give up for him, though?
I don't know. I wouldn't give up anything.
Third?
For him. I wouldn't give up a third. Mm-mm. Nope.
I mean, there's certainly a lot of questions with him.
Fifth?
I mean, if you're a team like Tampa, right, and you've now acquired Tom Brady, and you've got this stud receiving core, and they clearly need a stud running back or a upgrade at running back, fifth round? Definitely consider. Definitely, if you're in, you're in Tampa's boat,
not too expensive.
Well, I mean, $4 million isn't exactly chump change.
No, but it's still a rookie contract, so
yeah,
you know, it's not gonna break the bank.
And you're not in the long haul, right? You're going for the Tom Brady is for the immediate, right? It's for now, so
yeah.
It buys you a year.
Here's the thing, though. If I'm other teams, I mean, I look at this draft class for running backs, and it may not be the same caliber as wide receivers, but it's still pretty good. I mean, we've been talking about backs that the Titans could get, you know, in the fourth or the fifth round, and there are some pretty solid choices there. So I do wonder if a team wants to wait, see what happens in the draft, and then try and make a move, which I know for Jacksonville, I mean, they want to try and get, you know, the assets to use this year, but I just don't know if they're going to be able to do that.
I mean, realistically, how long do you think they have Tom Brady? 2 years?
Yeah.
Right?
Because that puts him at 45, right?
Right. So you got 2 years. So would it be worth it to a team like Tampa to pick up the fifth year, trade for him, and you're guaranteed 2 years of Fournette, and then, you know, probably more than likely you're going to move
year,
on?
If you pick up the fifth year, then what's the price tag goes way up in the fifth year, though, right? Don't you have to pay him, like, the average? There's a calculation. That's why the Titans didn't pick up the fifth year on Conklin, because that would go up.
Well, and that's why they ended up having to pay Mariota, you know, 20-plus or whatever it was, because they did pick up the fifth. So, yeah, I mean, the price would definitely go up. I think it would be more beneficial to a team that, you know, don't try and trade for him now, wait until after the draft, and then Jacksonville probably will be forced to just walk away, and then you just sign him off the street and probably pay a little bit less, get him on a one-year prove-it deal.
Yeah.
That would be ideal for sure. But even if Jacksonville holds on and you don't pick up the option, if you're Jacksonville, I think he's more tradable if you're trading him to a team where you're only on the hook for 1 year.
For the 1 year.
In a rather than 2 years, where the second year is going to be expensive.
Can they release or trade him after the fifth year option deadline?
After May 4th?
Yeah.
Why not?
I just didn't know. You know, sometimes there's, you know, some guidelines with that you can't. There's some, it has in the contract. And so it was just a question by me because I didn't know the answer.
Meanwhile, Ndakwe has told Tony Khan, which is the co-owner of the Jags, to stop hiding. I mean, like I said, it's just a mess. It's Jacksonville. They're just always a mess. They just look so dysfunctional. It's unbelievable how bad they look. I mean, players just coming out. I mean, you saw how the whole Jalen Ramsey, it's just always one thing after another. They can't ever get their house in order, which is great for the Titans and the Colts and the Texans, the other three teams in the division, because right now Jacksonville is always going to be picked fourth until they prove everybody otherwise. I mean, they just look like a bad football team and a bad organization, so nobody believes in them, which is, like I said, good for everybody else in the AFC South. We'll come back. More of Darren, Donnick, and Chase next. Do you need some votes, Willie? Are you ready for some votes?
I could use some votes.
Where are you? Where are you?
He's
at
in East Nashville.
We're in the Sweet 16.
Sweet 16.
Sweet 16 right now.
Okay.
Yep. Going up against the 5 seed.
And who is that?
Jordan Bolton, who is class of 2007. He played on some good teams.
Okay. Where did he go on from there?
But there's a reason he's a 1 seed, and there's a reason I'm a 1 seed, he's a 5 seed. That's what I would say.
No college for him? No college ball?
Oh, I don't know. Let me look. I will tell you momentarily.
Well, Willie, you have my vote. I just went in there and voted. You have 72% right now, so looking good compared to his 28. So basically a day to vote.
It's an accumulation of Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter. So all three are tallied up. So you can actually, Chase, if you want, you can vote three times if you follow me on those, or you go to the pages on all three.
Well, I will do that. My support.
Jordan Bolton was, let's see.
You're my roll dog, man.
It doesn't say that he played college here.
He can't win. Can't win. Come on.
No. Vote Willie D.
When's the voting in?
But he actually, I will say this. Tomorrow. Jordan Bolton, the guy I'm going up to, he was the first player to break my scoring record. So I was the all-time leading scorer from my senior year, 1989. My record stood until 2007, and he broke it. So he's got some credentials for sure.
They didn't play defense in 07, though. More wide open game, so just saying.
Yeah, and now he scored in 4 years. He played – when I played, you couldn't play when you were in ninth grade. You went to junior high, seventh, eighth, and ninth. So he played 4 years. He was able to play as a ninth grader. So you factor that in.
All right. Well, go vote.
But mostly I'm just begging for your vote because you know me here.
There you go.
You don't know Jordan. You know me.
You go and you look at the voting results of all of this. I mean, whenever Willie is in it, it has more participation, and I think what you do definitely helps. So the fact that you know, have a 100,000-watt radio station that you can go out and say, hey, vote for me, that's going to help.
No doubt about it. I thought it was interesting this morning in the 9 o'clock hour that it seems like when it came to talking about your Atlanta Braves, a dynasty, winning was not important. When it comes to Billy O'Brien down in Houston, it's all about the wins and the rings and all that. But when it came to your Braves, it seemed like, you know, they're still a dynasty, but, you know, they won once, and so that's really all that matters.
Well, okay, they got there, didn't they? You have to win the National League.
19 straight division titles and one championship. It seemed like that was okay. Still a dynasty in your book. But
what did they do in the postseason? In the postseason. What has Bill O'Brien not done in the postseason? He hasn't won.
He's won twice. He's won twice.
Twice in six years. Twice.
Two wins. 6 years.
Two wins.
They won once in how many division titles in a row did they have?
No, that is factually incorrect. They won one World Series. They won plenty of pennants, though.
Uh-huh.
They went to the World Series.
I'm just saying you deem them a dynasty. I'm not saying one way or the other, well, I agree or disagree. I'm just saying it is interesting. Your whole basis of Bill O'Brien is what did he do in postseason? That's all that mattered.
But your argument on this is off because he has won two playoff games in his 6 years. The Atlanta Braves made World Series appearances. They won the World Series once, but they won, I think, five National League pennants. That's completely different as compared to two playoff wins.
Okay. All right.
Willie, help me out here. How how is this even relevant?
How is it relevant? You're not going to help. I'm not going to help you on that. We went through this on Friday, didn't we?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. That's why I'm bringing it up.
No, he's rubbing it in now.
That's why I'm bringing it up because it seemed like, I was listening this morning. It's like, you know, good for Ryan Porth for calling you out on it because you deserve to be called out on it. But it's like, well, that's interesting. It seems like over the weekend things changed for you.
No, it didn't because if you don't want to say they're a dynasty because they only won one World Series, fine. But they still won the National League. They still won playoff series, whereas Bill O'Brien has two playoff wins after so many division titles.
Four division titles.
Yeah. In 6 years, fine. Mm-hmm. Braves won 19.
Right.
But they still won playoff series. That's my point.
The consistency of the the consistency of the regular season success is the key in all that, and I think that's where I've always felt like you can't undersell the success of a team that's there and in it every year, even if they don't win it and they have issues in the playoffs. You got to get to the playoffs, and there's something to be said for that.
I want to know how you feel about Andy Reid as a head coach before this season. No, I'm serious. I want to know. I want to know how you felt. What would be your assessment of Andy Reid before this year?
Very good coach that couldn't win the big one.
So he is a what? What is he in your mind?
Like, what? I don't understand what you mean.
Is he good? Is he average? Above average? Is he great?
I just said
underachiever. What is he?
Very good coach. I mean, very good coach, borderline Hall of Famer that didn't win the big one until this year. That's how I would have addressed him.
You're willing to give him credit for maintaining success, but yet all he was known for is underachieving in postseason play.
But he went to championship games.
Chase,
and he went to the Super Bowl.
What is it? Okay. What is it for you? It's like, but now it's championship games, and there was many times when he didn't.
All right. Tell me what you define as a playoff run, a successful playoff run.
Honestly, I think Willie and I are speaking the same language. You have totally undervalued how incredibly difficult, especially in the NFL, but in professional sports, it is to go through a regular season. By the way, that's the reason they play a regular season, because you should be judged on a regular season. That's because coaches get fired because of the regular season. And you, I feel like you've totally discarded the regular season and you've just focused all the attention to January. And that's just wrong. I mean, there's a whole body of work that goes with it that's very, very hard and very difficult. Coaches get fired and shown the door all the time because of that body of work in those 16 games. And you just wanted to fast forward to January and let's just focus on January. And I say, no, there's a whole lot in between, because if you're being honest with your argument, Andy Reid is more of a choke artist until this year, rather than how about long sustaining success that had achieved nothing in your mind until this year. Totally. Because he'd been to one Super Bowl and lost, and it had had great regular seasons for a long time in both Philadelphia and Kansas City, and was known for early exits in January. And so in your book, according to your criteria, he would not be deemed very high. You would be knocking him down pegs, because that's all you wanted to base it on was January. And I don't think you can do that. Not in any sport. It's kind of like going back to the whole Dusty Baker thing. It's like you have to. Yeah. Baseball's a long season, man. You can't discard 162 games. That's why they play it.
I'll give you another one. Don't you think Marty Schottenheimer would be another good example?
Sure.
Three different places, right? Cleveland, Kansas City, and for the Chargers. Got there a lot. Never had the breakthrough in the playoffs. It was a bummer for him.
But he's remembered
for
that.
It was the tag. Oh,
absolutely. I don't think
it's
fair.
For that.
I don't think
fair. But you still have to give him a lot of credit for three different places building winning programs like that.
Look, I hear your argument, and I see what you're saying, especially about Andy Reid. But did I not just say, when you asked me the question, that I said he was a very good coach that couldn't win the big one, that in postseason play couldn't win the championship? But he got to the NFC title games. He got to the AFC title games and finally broke through and won a Super Bowl. He got to a Super Bowl with the Eagles. So I definitely give him a lot more credit than I do Bill O'Brien. But, yeah, the regular season's important. I'll give you that, but you also hire a coach to win championships, and he's won two playoff games. That's the argument that I stand by.
Peyton Manning, great?
Peyton Manning is great.
One of the greatest of all time?
Yes.
And what was the knock on him for a long time in his career, fair or unfair?
That he couldn't beat Florida, that he couldn't win the national championship, that he didn't win the Heisman.
Right. We all know the storyline. Was that fair?
No.
Well, why? Why isn't it fair for Peyton Manning? I mean, he didn't do that stuff. So
no,
what was not fair about it?
But I think you have to look at what he did do. He won two Super Bowls.
that's the point. Well, eventually, yeah, on down the line, but up to the point where he finally broke through in 06, I mean, that was all people could do, was crush, crush, crush. And really, even after 06, he still got that tag until he finally got the second act in Denver and accomplished that. I mean, think about going back to the Marty Schottenheimer. He has been the doormat. He has been the butt of so many jokes. In what did he have? Five years in Cleveland. He made the playoffs 4 out of 5 years with the Cleveland Browns. Every year in Kansas City, he was there over a decade, in all but 3 years made the playoffs. And two of those years he was 8-7-1 and 9-7. The other year was 7-9. Think about that. Over a decade in Kansas City, littered with playoff appearances after playoff appearances, winning divisions or a wild card team. Same deal. The act in San Diego. He's been the butt of jokes. And just look at his body of work. I mean, it speaks for itself. 1 year with the Redskins, he went 8-8. The Redskins have been, once again, a laughingstock. Went 1 year, 8-8. So why do we make fun of him? Why is he the butt of all jokes?
So let me ask you this question, because this came up this morning when we were having this discussion, and somebody just texted this in. The Buffalo Bills of the 90s that went to four straight Super Bowls, are they considered a dynasty, even though they didn't win?
I think they are. You should be. Going to four straight Super Bowls is nothing to laugh at. And, yeah, they didn't win them.
Well, but that's different than saying a dynasty. I think they're completely underappreciated.
Underappreciated.
Those Bills teams, but I would not call them a dynasty.
So what would you call them? Just really good teams?
What would you call them, though?
I would call them an underappreciated team, a team that sort of gets lampooned, gets made fun of unnecessarily. And to me, it's ridiculous to do that. Just like, you know, the generation before that, the Vikings of the 70s also were kind of ripped. They could never win the Super Bowl. The Broncos were for a long time until they broke through.
No question.
Late, right?
No question.
But the Bills are the quintessential team. Oh, the Bills, because they were embarrassed in some of the Super Bowls. But making four straight Super Bowls, I think you could probably argue it's a dynasty. I don't know if I would use that term. I'd have to figure out what's the best way to describe them.
If you're going to say that they're a dynasty and they didn't win one, then you have to say the Braves are.
Well, I would say, I don't know what the right word is. I think Willie said it best. Underappreciated is a good word for them, because I do think that they are just completely tossed to the side because they didn't win one. But going to four straight Super Bowls is something that should be talked about. It's something that should be discussed. Why don't you hold their postseason success or lack of to Dan Marino and Dan Fouts? Do you think Dan Marino and Dan Fouts were great quarterbacks?
Sure.
Okay. Why don't people? I mean, well, I guess some
I think they do.
Do you think they deserve to be knocked because they didn't win it? Because they didn't have the postseason success?
Yeah, I think you also have to look at the teams around them. I mean, the players around them. I think that factors in. But, I mean, you can make that same, what you were bringing up earlier about Peyton Manning. You can make that same argument. And we saw it last night with Michael Jordan. That last season is we're going to see how much he missed Scottie Pippen. And he's the greatest player of all time. So I do think it's all about the supporting cast. That's definitely got to factor in.
I just think you're kind of cherry picking your argument, and you didn't really want to go there with the Braves, but you're willing to go there with other people or other teams. And I just simply think that you're off with your argument.
We're looking at two different arguments here, right? There's two different things that we've debated on shows. One was you're rating the coaches in the AFC South. Another one is dynasties, right? So Chase, clarify what you guys were talking about this morning with dynasties. In light of, I guess, the Michael Jordan.
Well, we were asking, the whole question was a dynasty that you didn't see that you wish you would have. Because, you know, Ryan and I obviously missed, you know, I used the Showtime Lakers as an example because my dad was a big fan of them and always talked about them. Obviously, that happened before I was born. So, you know, that would be a dynasty that I would want to see. Well, then the conversation morphed into, well, do you classify teams that didn't win at all? It's a dynasty. The Bills were the first one that came up. I brought that up. I said, look, they have to be recognized for what they did, going to four straight Super Bowls and then losing. And then the Braves, that's how the whole Braves conversation came about. And I said, well, they did win one. They won 19 straight divisions. They went to five World Series. Yeah, they only came away with one, and that's underachieving for sure. I'll be the first to admit that. But I still classify them. Maybe dynasty, Willie, like you brought up, isn't the right word, but they are one of the great teams. That is a tremendous run by any team in any decade to do what they did.
Yeah, that's a really tricky one. That's right on the borderline. I think if they had won one more World Series, then I don't think there'd be any debate on whether that was a dynasty or not. But the fact that they only won one, even though
it should have been in
such a
96.
Great, yeah, they were in great shape there. And, of course, they were so close in 91. That game, 7, could have gone either way for sure. So that's an interesting debate. How many people would put that in a class of dynasty?
Yeah, I mean, to me, a run like that deserves to be recognized. It with just even
recognized
if they
for sure. But
even
but
if they didn't
if
win
you're putting
in 95,
in,
like, it's got to be up there as – like, how hard is that to do for – that's
incredibly
that's
hard.
That's two decades. That was two decades of doing that, sustaining right. that. But yeah. but once again, I go back to, but according to your criteria, all you cared about was the end. You know, it's like they're running a marathon.
No, that's not what I
and
said.
And you wanted to talk about mile markers 23 to 26.
No, I said you got to give me some postseason success. And here we go. We're going in circles now. The Braves had postseason success. They got to the World Series. Bill O'Brien has won two playoff games.
Yeah, winning an NFL playoff game is hard, and it deserves credit, okay? And when you've only been there four times and you've won two games out of 4 years, that's something to acknowledge. It's hard to win in the NFL in the playoffs. This just in. It's hard. So you just want to discard, like, two wins, big deal. Well, guess what? You like the teams get ousted by certain – well, guess what? They got ousted by the Patriots. They got ousted by teams that went on to win the Super Bowl. So does that count?
Here's one
they
that
lost to the Chiefs and they lost
in.
To the Patriots. Does that count? Does that
Darren,
go in his favor?
How would you categorize the 90s? How would you categorize the 90s Indians along those lines? A team. I think there's a Major League Baseball Network documentary that says like the dynasty that almost was or something like mm-hmm. that, right?
Yeah.
I mean that's one. They had incredible consistency for about a decade, but I don't know if you would call them a dynasty. But they had tremendous consistency.
Well, I don't know if it wasn't really a decade. I would say 94 is when it started coming together, and then we know how 94 ended. There was no postseason play. 94 is when you saw it all coming together, and then 95 was the explosion. It was more of half of a decade.
But when did they stop the run? They won the Central.
Well, you're right. It went
all the way up until like 2000 or 2001, didn't they?
Yeah, but I'm thinking 95 and 97 were two World Series appearances. Obviously.
See, that's what this is about. You're still salty about 95. That's what this is really about.
I'm not salty about 95 at all. Honestly, the heartbreak, I didn't – that's probably the least of the three.
97 is a bigger heartbreak.
No, right. 97 and 2017 are way tougher pills to swallow than 95. Way tougher. 95 is last in my book of things that were tough to deal with because I didn't think they really – they weren't that close to completing the journey. 97 and 2017, they were in the driver's seat and couldn't finish. That's a tougher right. pill to swallow in my book.
That's fair.
All right, that'll do it for today's show. Enjoy the great weather, man. Awesome day outside. We'll be back at it tomorrow. By the way, Ryan Leaf will be on the program tomorrow. We've got another loaded lineup for you tomorrow starting at 10 a.m. Continue to be safe, and we'll talk to you then.
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Game night's fun until someone spends 5 minutes lining up one shot. Chalk, breathe, re-chalk. Still aiming. While they figure it out, I fire up Chumba Casino. I can spin anywhere, anytime, and there's always a new social casino game every week. Spins happen way faster than that shot. Play now at ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
Sponsored by Chumba Casino. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.